Matthew chapter 3. So last week we looked at the birth of Jesus and some people who were associated with it. And so we saw Joseph as a desired people. God's still looking for people who are willing to lay aside their plans and willing to follow God wholeheartedly. We saw the wise men as a desiring people. There are still people who are looking for Jesus. And we often think that we're like Elijah and the only ones still serving him, the only ones wanting anything to do with him. There are still people desiring Jesus. We saw Herod as a disingenuous people. There's still many who out there who are fake. Many people who have the wrong reasons behind their associations with Jesus, whether they're going to church for the wrong reason, claiming to be Christians when they're not. There's a disingenuous people. But then there's also a disinterested people, like the many who were crowded into Jerusalem at that time. Didn't really care to go and investigate into Jesus. Didn't want to leave their comfortable schedules and plans to go out of their way to see this baby in a manger. And so there are still people today that honestly don't care. It's amazed me whenever I went out and talked to people and invited them to church, try to share the gospel with them. There are some people that just absolutely could not care less. Never give eternity any thought, never think about God or anything else. And that's just mind-boggling to me. But there are many people who are just honestly disinterested. But as we said, God doesn't keep those people in that state forever. It doesn't mean that they're going to be forever in that. Sometimes those who are disingenuous can become true believers. Sometimes those that are disinterested can become interested and become true believers. And so not to discount anyone there, but to try to be as Joseph was and be a desired people. And so today we're going to be looking at, as I said, Matthew chapter 3. And Matthew records, as he records his account of Jesus' life, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time telling about Jesus' early years, about him growing up, or anything really to do with the birth other than that Jesus was born. We find that in chapter 2, it talks about the angels coming to Joseph and announcing that Mary was pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. But honestly, his birth, he doesn't really dedicate that much time to. He has one verse. It says, verse 25 of chapter 1, "And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." That was it as far as the birth goes. We read about the Magi, the wise men there in chapter number 2 that we looked at last week. But there's not a whole lot that he records as far as Jesus' life. And then between chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus grows up. He's raised by Joseph and Mary. He's taught the carpenter trade by Joseph. We find in other accounts that at 12 years old, he's taken to the temple and left behind. But Matthew doesn't record any of that. He goes straight into telling about what we're going to look at today, the ministry of John the Baptist and whenever Jesus comes and is baptized. And so he tells just enough to establish that Jesus was the king. He tells us that he was born of the right lineage, that he was approved by the Magi. And today we're going to see that he was announced by a forerunner and approved by God. And so we have the witness of the two events, his birth and his baptism, and of three people, the Magi or the wise men, the prophet John, and the Father, whenever he speaks from heaven. And so those are what Matthew records here. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we're going to read Matthew chapter 3 and get into our message for today. Dear Lord, we come to you once again. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've given us. And we thank you most of all for your plan of salvation, Lord, that you loved us so much that you come down to redeem us unto yourself, that we can have eternal life and have our sins forgiven and a relationship with you here on this earth. Lord, we just pray, ask you, Lord, that you guide us as we look into this today. I pray that you'd help us through your scriptures. And Lord, I just pray that we could draw closer to you, be more Christ-like in this world that we live in, Lord, and point others to you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name and amen. So, as I said, let's jump right into Matthew chapter 3. Begin with verse number 1. It's a short chapter, and so we'll just read the whole chapter here. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, and unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water and said, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we covered a lot of ground in that those 17 verses there. And as I said, we were just on Jesus' birth last week. But now we've already come up to his baptism and the beginning of his ministry. And so as we look at this passage, one thing that jumped out to me as I was studying this is how odd so much of this was. And so what we're going to be looking at today is that God doesn't do normal. Okay, that's our thought for today. That's our title for the message. God does not do normal. And you're going to find that all throughout Scripture, that God is not in the habit of doing the things the way that we think they ought to be done, in the way that common man would consider to be normal. And so if you're abnormal, if you're a little weird, you're right on par for God.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see that in this passage here. So just to get into this just a little bit, I want to kind of tell this as somewhat of a story, because as I read through this, I get into the story a little bit and try to put myself there. I try to put myself in the middle of it and see the things going on. And so as we look at this, we realize that Israel was quite a different place than what it was at the close of the Old Testament.
Right.
For over 500 years, they had been under the rule of different empires, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and now they were under the rule of Rome. Israel was only a shadow of its former glory. They could look back longingly under the times of kings like David and Solomon. In fact, at this time, they didn't even have a king at all. They longed for those days. The Jews couldn't go anywhere without being reminded that they were under Rome's thumb, that Rome was in charge. There were soldiers constantly around them. There was Roman laws they had to abide by, Roman customs. There was different languages. It was more common to hear Greek than it was to hear Hebrew in that day. And so there was constantly reminders around them that it wasn't like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so on top of all of this, it had been over 400 years since they'd even heard from God. There hadn't been a prophet since Malachi. There hadn't been a prophet since Malachi, and there was a long drought of hearing the word of God, and they longed to hear from God once again. They probably wondered, why was God silent? They may have even wondered why God had forgotten them. It's kind of like Job that we looked at in Sunday school this morning. Because after 400 years, they had heard all of the stories from their fathers and their grandfathers and their ancestors about how God had moved in times past. They had heard about Moses in the Red Sea. They had heard about Noah in the Ark. They'd heard about the Tower of Babel. They heard about Elijah and Elisha. They'd heard about Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and all these other men of God, but that hadn't happened in their lifetime. They hadn't heard. For some reason, God was eerily silent during this time. And so probably some of these men, as I said, were probably wondering if God had forgotten about them. All of their lives for generation, the Jews have heard of a king, a Messiah, and he was their hope. He was going to be special. He would be virgin born, and he'd be from the family of David, and his coming would be announced by Elijah or by a prophet that was like him. How they longed to hear from God, how they longed to have that great king to throw off the tyranny of Rome. But when would it come? Would it ever come? And so they'd have many questions that would fill their minds through all this. While the people longed for their Messiah, their ruling class of so-called religious leaders had worked out a fairly comfortable place for themselves. They had compromised with the Roman leadership. They had made themselves of importance to all of those Roman leaders in keeping the peace within Israel. And so in doing so, they had power, they had wealth, and they had prestige. They had the respect of the Israelites. They kind of had the hatred of Rome, but that Rome had to depend on them anyway. And so this religious class didn't really care that much about a Messiah. They weren't really looking forward to a king because they had what they wanted. They had the power and wealth. They were satisfied. But the people longed for that promised king. And so that's when God decided to move in a way that no one ever expected. And so the first thing that I want to look at in the way of odd things in this passage is that we have an odd messenger. Can you just picture in your mind for a moment John the Baptist as he came on the scene? Although the people of Israel knew that the Messiah would have a forerunner that would be like Elijah, they didn't expect for him to be just like Elijah. He dressed like Elijah, he ate like Elijah, and he came with a similar message as Elijah. And they didn't expect that. Now think about this. If he's to be the forerunner for the Messiah, for the King of Israel, then one would expect eloquence, the finest clothes. They would expect public venues. He would rent out the stadiums. He would rent out the Colosseum. He would gather at all of the social events. He would be giving stunningly patriotic speeches. He would wow and inspire the masses. He would have all the right connections. He would impress the rulers. He would rise against the Romans. But instead, God sent John the Baptist. He doesn't fit any of those qualifications.
No.
He came from nowhere. He wore a camel hair cloak with a leather belt. That was hardly the height of fashion. He ate locusts and wild honey. Not steak and caviar.
Right.
His hair was long, and his beard was probably just as long. And so he probably looked like some desert hermit, which in reality is what he was. And so this is who came proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the one that's coming proclaiming that the Messiah is finally coming. This wasn't who they expected. He was quite an odd messenger. He didn't come to the palaces, to the temples or synagogues. He didn't run in the circles with the powerful or wealthy or scholarly or even with the religious. Instead, he remained in the wilderness, but multitudes and multitudes come to him.
Mm-hmm.
People would travel great distances. They would go far out of their way to hear this odd messenger. He certainly must have been a prophet, many people thought. Although he was odd, just maybe he was that prophet they were looking for.
Yeah.
I can imagine conversations as people debated on their way home from the places that they had met him and out in the wilderness. I can imagine them talking about, maybe he is. Some of them were convinced. Some of them had gotten baptized. Some of them had rejected it. And they would have the discussions. They would be confused because he was nothing like what they expected. Then there was the fact that he got the attention of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they came out and he said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He had gotten their attention, but they didn't seem too impressed with him.
Right.
And even more strangely, he wasn't a bit impressed with them either. If one is to come to represent the Messiah, the king that's going to rule over Israel, the one that they've been looking for all this time, surely he would be associated with the religious leaders of the day. Surely he would be trying to impress them. Surely he would be trying to ally himself with them. But he didn't do any of those things. In fact, he made them mad.
Right.
He was quite an odd messenger.
Yeah.
But that wasn't all. That's just the messenger. But even more odd than the messenger was the message. And so the second thing we look at in this is an odd message. As odd as John the Baptist was, the messenger as well as his methods, the message that he brought wasn't what they expected.
Right.
They expected national zeal. Messages that were against Rome, that would unify the people, that would ally the Jewish leaders and the Messiah. But what did he preach? His message was repent and be baptized because heaven's king's coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
We're looking for Israel's king. The kingdom of heaven. We're interested in the kingdom of Israel. Repent. What are we to repent for? We're the children of God. We're the people of Israel. We're his chosen people. We're good Jews. Repentance means that we have to change our mind, to change our direction. What do we have to repent of? And then to be baptized, that's for the Gentiles. That's what they have to do to become one of us, to identify with us as Jews. That's what the Gentiles have to do. Why would I, as a Jew, have to be baptized? What a crazy message. And after all, looking at this business of being baptized, how silly would it be to go have some hermit dunk me underwater? Doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah.
And then he talks about this one that comes after him. He's not worthy to untie his shoes. Well, I can imagine that from some hermit in a loincloth, you know, John the Baptist out there. Yeah, he probably isn't worthy to untie the shoes of the Messiah. But the Messiah is coming, and he's baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Wait a minute, that's not what we bargained for as Jews. We're looking for a Messiah that's going to baptize his sword with the blood of the Romans. That's what we want.
Yeah.
But being baptized with the Holy Ghost, what's that supposed to mean? And with fire? Sounds like you're talking about judgment, John. Sounds like you're talking about judgment on us. The wheat from the chaff, the axes laid to the roots and bear fruit or be burned up. And this doesn't sound very much like the message that we were looking for, John. This is quite an odd message. How does any of this prepare us for the Messiah? How does this get us ready for the one that's supposed to come? For our national hero that we're looking for? But yet there were many people who were falling for it.
Yeah.
There was common people who were falling for it. They were flocking to this odd messenger. They were accepting this odd message. But the rulers and the religious guys, they were too smart to fall for such a foolish thing. They weren't taking any part in what John had to offer. But now, the commoners, the ignorant, they were the ones who were giving heed to him. They were being deceived by this loincloth charlatan, as they would have thought. Such an odd messenger. And the message that he brought pointed to an odd Messiah.
Yeah.
Our third thing. There was an odd messenger, an odd message, and an odd Messiah. Just whenever things couldn't get any more strange, one day as John was baptizing, there was a man named Jesus that came on the scene, seemingly come from the middle of nowhere. And he came to John to be baptized. And John says, I'm not worthy to be baptized by you. You should be baptizing me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worthy. What's this odd messenger talking about?
Right.
Who is this man? Why is John not worthy to be or to baptize him? But after a little bit of conversation between Jesus and John, John relents and he decides to go ahead and baptize Jesus. And whenever Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened, there was a voice heard, and a dove came down and lit on him. This isn't how a Messiah should be announced, is it? Quite an odd Messiah coming out in the wilderness, getting dunked under the water, and all these other things going on. The Messiah should be announced with a herald. It should be announced with pomp and with circumstance, with all of this coming in with hordes and with soldiers and with armies and with bands and with marches and parades and all these things, and he's not any of those things. Jesus was quite an odd Messiah. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a ruler. He wasn't a priest. In fact, he was a carpenter from some small town. And I've even heard rumors that he was born of fornication. What kind of Messiah is he? How could this be the hope of Israel? How could God use such an odd Messiah? As we continue our way through Matthew, we're going to find that God uses even more odd messengers. He chooses out fishermen and tax collectors.
Yeah.
And his message is going to continue being an odd one.
Right.
At times a divisive one. And Jesus will continually not fit into man's predetermined box of what he's supposed to be.
You're right.
And so in this passage here in John, I'm getting confused here with John the Baptist. In this passage here in Matthew, we find these three things. An odd messenger, an odd message, and an odd Messiah. So I want to give you three takeaways from this passage that we can apply to our lives. Because as of right now, I've pointed out a few things and I've given a little bit of direction in our study as we're learning more about Jesus. But I want some things that we can learn from this, some things that we can take and apply to our lives. As far as the odd messenger goes, God's still looking for odd messengers today. He's looking for people who are willing to be a little bit odd, that don't fit into the box of the society that around us, doesn't fit the picture of what God's messengers are supposed to be.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians 1:27, the Bible says that the wisdom of God is foolishness with men. God doesn't do things the way that man thinks that it ought to happen. Christians are still odd to this world. And just whenever you don't feel like you fit into the mold of someone that he can use, chances are you're just what he wants.
Exactly right.
Today, God's messengers aren't what the world thinks they ought to be. It's not the shining cathedrals. It's not the large and ornate buildings. It's not the ordered and staunch and honestly nauseating services and things that go on. All of the traditions and all of the rituals and all of those things. It's not that. It's not those who come with the long gowns and the big funny hats. And it's not the ones who have the big names and sell out the biggest venues and all of these things. That's not who God is using today. That's not the messengers he's looking for.
Right.
He's looking for odd people like you and me. And if you're offended by that, sorry, we're odd. And that's what he's looking for. Our little church here in Ireland is odd.
Yeah.
The people around don't really know what to think of us.
Right.
They look in the windows, they wonder what we're doing. But God is looking for some odd people that are still willing to follow him and to be his messengers and take his message to the world.
Yeah.
And so we can be reassured that whenever we do feel odd, when we feel unworthy, when we feel as if we're someone that God can't use, when we start realizing all of our shortcomings and failures, whenever we're like Moses standing there at the burning bush and saying, God, you don't realize all the things that I can't do and all the things that I don't know and all the lack that I have in my abilities, God says, you're just the one that I want.
Right.
We can make all the excuses that we want, but God specializes in odd.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't do normal. God doesn't fit into man's box of the way that things are supposed to work. The second thing that we can get from it as well is the message is still odd. The message is still odd. The message that we bring to this lost and dying world is not the message that they want to hear. It's not the one that they're expecting to hear. They want to hear how good they are. They want to hear how they need to work harder, to do more, to bring God's favor upon them. They want to hear about a gospel that's going to give them health, wealth, and prosperity.
Right.
They want to hear that their good works are pleasing to God and that somehow they can be good enough to earn their way into heaven and that God is somehow up in heaven applauding them on and somehow pleased with how great they are and he's impressed by all of their charitable acts, all of their things that they are doing and performing in his name. That's what the world's looking for.
Yes.
But God's message is the same, that we are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no good in us, that we can't do anything to earn our way into heaven. That for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. His message is still very similar to what John preached years ago. It's still to repent. That's a change of mind. Quit chasing after religion, after what religion has to say, and to do it God's way.
Right.
Be baptized. not any longer of water, but of the Holy Ghost that he said was going to come. And that happens at the moment that we're saved. Because, once again, heaven's king is at hand.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming back. And so we still are touting the same message that John did all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That people need to turn from their way to God's way.
Mm-hmm.
They need to receive Jesus Christ's forgiveness and the Holy Ghost in their life, and they need to prepare themselves for the return of the King that promised that he would come.
Yeah.
Because it's not that far away. We tell that to the world and they say that's quite an odd message. It always has been an odd message.
Right.
They don't want to hear that message. They don't want to hear that they need to quit doing it their way and do it God's way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear that their works are not good enough, that the way that they try to do things is not good enough. They don't want to hear that they're sinners and that Jesus paid for their sin, that they can't pay for their own sins. They don't want to hear that Jesus is coming back to set up a kingdom. They want their kingdom on this earth.
Right.
They want to be able to put it together here. They want to be able to have that health, wealth, and prosperity and build their kingdom and their palace and all those things here.
Mm-hmm.
The message is still odd.
Yeah.
But that's the message that we have to take.
Right.
Then we also see that the Messiah is still odd to this world today. The Messiah is still odd to this world. As I said, men want a king that's going to fulfill their dreams. It's going to give them their kingdom here. But Jesus has never been about that. Instead, he came and he identified with the worst of humanity. That's what baptism was, by the way, is identifying. He identified with the worst of humanity. He identified with the publicans and sinners. He died the most gruesome of deaths to forgive the unworthy so that he could live with them for all eternity. Jesus truly was an odd Messiah, an odd Savior. But I'm glad he's my Savior.
Yes.
It's what we have today. We're odd messengers with an odd message, serving an odd Savior. But that's the way that God put it all together, because he doesn't do normal.
Right.
Because our version of normal is not normal.
No.
It goes against everything that God has done. And so God, as I said, he does not do normal. He does odd.
Right.
To our understanding, to the world's understanding.
Yeah.
So if you've learned nothing else today, and I know I've been very short. I told you I would be. But if you've learned nothing else today, I hope you've learned that God uses odd people in odd circumstances to bring about his plan.
Right.
And so whenever God's involved, things rarely ever go the way that we expect that they'll go. Rarely ever the way that we think that they should go. But in the end, I think we'll find that they're always far better.
Yes.
The way that God brings things about, the way that he brings things together is weird. It's odd.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's better. Just in the matter of his message, that of salvation, I'm glad it was odd, because if I had to work for it, I couldn't do it.
Right.
I'm glad that I don't have to save myself. I'm glad he saved me. His ways are better. And so we need to keep going, even whenever things are odd. That just means that God is probably at work, because he does not do normal. Never has. And so we can take a little bit of relief, a little comfort, a little satisfaction in that. And just to continue being odd for him. Allowing him to work his plan out when we don't understand it. And continue reaching out to this world and being different. Standing out. I tell you, it's honestly, I know this might be a little bit of an odd perspective, but it's usually the black sheep that catches your attention.
You're right.
We're not going to catch the world's attention by being normal. Now, I'm not saying go out and be weird for the sake of being weird. I'm saying go out and serve our Savior with the message that he has given, the abilities that he has given us, because that's the way that God works.
Right.
So hopefully that's encouraged you. Hopefully it's challenged you. Hopefully it's given you something to think about. And as I said, for once I kept my promise. I've been short. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and close for today. Dear Lord, we come to you once again today. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this passage that we have here in your word. And Lord, as we look through and we consider passage after passage after passage, all these different circumstances that we're going to be looking at, I can't help but laugh at all of the odd circumstances, all the times that you do things in strange ways, Lord. And Lord, I can look back over my life as well, and I can see things that you put together that honestly, I just shake my head and I never would have seen them coming. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you work in strange ways and you use strange people. Lord, I just pray, ask you, Lord, you just Help us, Lord, just to trust you even when things get weird. Help us, Lord, just to continue proclaiming your plan and just continue carrying forth your name, Lord, and Lord, just being an example and a witness to the world around us, Lord. We thank you for all you do for us. We love you. We ask you to be with each of us throughout this week and guide us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.